Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, live here at the SiriusXM studio in the Wynn in Las Vegas. And we have this amazing energy going today with Kyle Matthews, Sean Dill, and Bucky O'Neill is our anchor man. Speaking of anchor men, we can see that poster behind him, but this is one of our amazing heroes. He's a United States vet, a U.S. Marine, but most people know him as an actor, writer, producer, director, and an amazing comedian. But I'll tell you, as great as he is at everything he does, he's even a better friend. And that's what means the most to me. He truly goes out of his way for all the people he cares about and shows up for people that he doesn't even know. Rob Riggle, welcome back to Office Hours.
Hey, man, that was a great intro. I need you to follow me around all day.
No problem. If my stomach didn't hurt from laughing all day, I would. You're farther along in the success than a lot of people in your industry. And one of the things with the new media world is that there's a lot of opportunity because of these type of shows and your own podcast. And you don't have to wait for TriStar or Legacy or Legendary to call you for the big roles anymore. We can do just fine by picking and choosing things that are aligned with maybe where we want to be, our divine direction. And I'm sure you're overloaded with different options and opportunities. I know your podcast is called Riggle's Picks. So I was thinking, how do you pick and choose which one you want to spend your time, emotion, money, energy in with so many opportunities?
Well, I love the fact that you you framed it very well, but I don't know if the opportunities are as plentiful as you think as far as like acting opportunities as a hired gun. However, what you did say is true. The paradigm has really changed. The landscape is totally different. And so there are whenever something like that, whenever there's a shakeup of an old system, there's opportunity. So that's the one thing to get excited about is there is opportunity. Now, do you have the right mindset? Okay, well, yes, let's attack it. How do I want to do it? What do I want to see? And whatever I want to see on the screen or listen to in the podcast, that's what I try to do. It's not, the formula is not very tricky. You don't have to come up with something that's never been done before, or this, that, and the other. No, what do you love? What do you love to see? What do you want to see? What are the stories you want to hear? And that's what you go create. So you're very kind and you're always very gracious to me, but
you deserve it.
Yeah, no, I'm a struggling actor like everybody else.
I will tell you, I did make one mistake because we're very informal here. That is not Anchorman behind his stepbrothers. My eyesight's going and that video is far away, but this is Kyle Matthews, Rob Riggle, and you may know the name being a big football fan. Kyle, this is one of my good friends, Rob Riggle. Yeah.
Rob, it's good to see you. Big fan of yours. So, David and you guys were talking about opportunities. And I think in my experience, a lot of people are presented different opportunities in life, specifically whether, you know, it's to meet the right person or in business. And it's also been my experience, the biggest reason people don't seize those opportunities is fear, right? Often fear of failure. And so you've achieved success as a director, as an actor, as a comedian, and as a Marine, and in levels of fear. I mean, it's scary to create a movie. You're going to be judged. I mean, it's even more terrifying to me to get on stage and act. And even above that would be a comedian and go and tell jokes. And respectfully, the biggest fear is putting your life on the line for your country. And yet you have this track record of at least from what I could see, overcoming fear. Did you just not feel fear? Or if you did, how did you overcome that so many times? I think there's so much we could all could learn about that.
That's an interesting question.
Well, that's why Dave brought me here, right?
Yeah, thanks for sure, because I'm not interesting. I'm interested.
Not true. I think fear, people underestimate it. I'm afraid, sure. But fear is the one thing. If you track down all the negative emotions, whatever it is, anger, jealousy, you know, insecurity, whatever negative emotion is out there, if you drill down on it, you're going to find that the root is fear. Always. You're always going to find that the root is fear. And fear is what some people want you to live in so that you won't go for it, so that you won't try. But if you get it in your head that trying and failing is okay, you have permission to fail, You know, it's not like if you fail, that's it. Pack up your stuff, go try another life somewhere. It doesn't work like that, you know. The Marine Corps, I give a lot of credit to. You know, people always ask, how'd you go from the Marines to comedy? Well, there's no direct link, I'll tell you. But the Marines did give me a lot of intangibles. They gave me a lot of intangibles, and those things were overcoming fear and learning. You know, I thought my expectations were here, and the Marines showed me, oh, no, they're way up here. And you just got to push yourself beyond your perceived limits. And once you do that, you start to figure out, hey, I can do this, and maybe I can do this. And then your self-esteem grows. And you know, I always get mad at people who say, oh, you affect my self-esteem. I don't buy it. Self-esteem is self-esteem. It's what I think of myself, not what anybody else thinks of me. And so you have to have that. You have to think well of yourself. You have to speak well of yourself. You have to overcome fear every day, because it's always going to be present. It's always going to be available to you. Fear will always be there. That voice that says, don't, sit down. You're not going to emote in front of these people. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're not going to do this. You're not, you know, it's always available. But overcoming it is where you're going to find happiness, is where you're going to find success, in my opinion. A lot of these cliches aren't cliches. They didn't just fall from the sky. They're cliches for a reason. They've been proven out throughout thousands of years of recorded history. And on the other side of your fear lay your dreams and your desires. And if you can get over that lake of fear, you'll be amazed at how wonderful things are. But you got to conquer that fear. I was very blessed. I joined the Marines at 19, and I learned some of those lessons very early. But the first time I got on stage to do stand up, I was mortified. It was like I was in a car accident. That's the level of shock my body was in. My ears were pumping with so much blood that I didn't hear the audience, and I only had to do 5 minutes, and I did it as fast as I did 5 minutes in about 4.5 minutes. And I did it as
fast. Sounds like
as
my
I,
love
I didn't
life.
Even listen to them. I didn't listen if they were laughing or not. I didn't care if they were laughing or not. I wanted to say what I had to say and get off stage. And thank God someone handed me a VHS when I was running off the stage and said, hey, here's your set. And they showed it. And I went home that night. And when I finally, my adrenaline had cooked off and I calmed down, I watched the tape, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I had imagined it in my mind. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that great. But if I had let the audience laugh a little bit, maybe it would have been better, but I didn't. I just kept powering through it because I wanted to get off the stage so bad. But then when I watched the tape, I was like, oh, okay. So, and then it said, well, go back and try it again. And you get your 10,000 hours, you get your reps in, eventually you get good at whatever you decide you want to be good at.
That's a great answer. I want to yell like, pow, right?
Kind of a long answer, sorry,
but that's what Rob's good at.
Rob, I know how passionate you are, and it comes out in your previous answers about the time that you served. My father's phone, if he receives a phone call right now, it plays the Marine Corps hymn. He is that 85-year-old man that sees a person in uniform in the airport and will go straight up to them, shake their hand, and tell them thank you for your service. And so I'm truly inspired by the impact that your service to our country has had on you. And I see a lot of, if you want to know how you turn out at 85, I can tell you, you're on track to be just like my dad.
Just and taller.
Yes, and better looking. I love how Dave talked about opportunity, and then we followed up with this fear concept, and then you brought up how you joined the Marines at 19. And you had talked about, look, you know, if the amazing opportunity comes knocking today, that you are an actor looking for opportunity, but somehow at 19 you stepped into arguably the biggest opportunity of your lifetime, that you didn't even know that this, it was going to form you. It was going to do all of this for you. Give us your take on walking into the door when you hear that knock, stepping through. Inspire us with how you did this, of how we can, you know, everybody has opportunity. How can we step into that opportunity like you did?
Well, it's tough to say, because when I made the first adult decision of my life that was completely my own decision, no input or nobody else had a vote but me, was to join the Marine Corps. That was my first adult decision. That was all mine. And at 19, you're not thinking very much. You don't, you're not a deep thinker at that point. You know, your brain's still forming until 26, I think. That's the last thing from the insurance companies. But, you know, like you're still young, you're still forming. But I had enough sense and enough knowledge, and I had enough good people around me to know that, you know, taking the more challenging path often leads to more rewards. And even I don't even know what that means as far as like there's nothing specific. It just meant, you know, if you choose the harder path, you're going to grow in character, in strength, in mental and emotional and maybe even physical fortitude. And it's going to make your journey not easier, but you're going to be better prepared for what may come. But yeah, when opportunity presents itself, I think you have to go for it. I think what happens is for a lot of people, everybody's got dreams, myself included. And you know, we like to think about them, daydream about them. We maybe even visualize yourself doing something awesome or whatever it may be, but it always comes down to the last piece of the puzzle, which is action. You got to take some action. You can't just dream about it all day. You've got to, when the opportunity comes, you've got to say, yes, I will do it. Yes, I'm here. Count me in. Sign me up. And then deal with the consequences later. you know, you'll find out on the way. You don't have to have all the answers. You just got to go for it. And you got to take the action. I think that so many people, I get approached almost every day from veterans or from just Gen Zs or whoever who want to, hey, how can I get into acting? I want to do what you do, blah, 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 blah. Great, I love it. But they all want the hack. They all want the shortcut. They all want, I don't want to do 10 years in the trenches. I don't want to spend 10 years as a starving artist. So how can I do it maybe like in a year, year and a half, something like that? You got an 18-month plan? And, you know, the answer is no. It's just no. If everybody wants the secret, you know, what's the secret? Everybody speaks in hushed tones. What's the secret of success? There is no secret. Here's the secret: discipline and hard work.
There you
That's
go.
That's it. I know. That's not what nobody wants to hear that, by the way. Nobody. I don't want to hear it. I'll take a hack any day. Give me the shortcut. I'm not. That's human nature. It's human nature to seek out the path of least resistance. So I get it. I'm not judging. But the simple truth, you gotta be disciplined. You gotta do it every day, even when you don't want to do it. And you gotta be doing it consistently. And you gotta be making progress. You gotta measure your progress. Am I making progress? If I'm not, how do I need to adjust and change so that I can make progress? And you keep working at it, you keep working at it, and then you get derailed for whatever reason. Your wife gets pregnant, you get fired from your job, you get deployed to Afghanistan. Who knows what it might be? But you get back on, you get derailed, and you keep going. You keep derailed, you get back on. So it's, you know, there's no secret. That's the secret. The secret is discipline and hard work, and you'll get to where you're going. But if you don't take any action, you'll be a 10, 15, 20, God forbid, lifetime dreamer who's mad at everybody because your dream didn't come true. So.
Paquet O'Neill.
Rob, good to see you, buddy. I think,
nice to see you.
Yeah. One of the things that really surprised me about you when we met for the first time was just your level of humility. And just how grounded and connected you were, but happy to meet me, but also happy to be a part of this community and meet people in this community and be open to learning. So I just want to acknowledge you for that. As someone who has accomplished so much, sometimes the expectation, and you see this a lot as people start to experience a level of success, is that who they are has changed, not for the better, but for the worse. And I see very much in you that your life is very connected. So thank you for being an example of that. I want to ask you a question around funny, okay? This idea of funny. What makes something funny? Where does funny come from? And what has funny taught you in your life?
That's interesting. Well, first of all, thanks for the very kind words. You're very gracious. The thing is, I've learned is that I don't deconstruct comedy very much, only because it really becomes this weird thing where you try to define it. I do know that if you try to be funny, oftentimes it doesn't work. And if you, you know, everything can be funny. It just depends on the time and place, and what you're experiencing. So There's lots of things that are funny to me that, you know, I'm in my 50s and a well-timed fart will make me laugh, you know. It's just
or somebody's
it's the,
name.
It's the way it is. I'm not saying a real one. I'm just saying even the fart noise. A well-timed, a well-placed, you know, something still makes me laugh. And it's, you know, people can judge that all they want. I don't care. It still makes me laugh. But, you know, if you watch Albert and Costello doing Who's On First, you know, that thing's, you know, 80 years old. And yet if you see it done by a master, it's really entertaining. It's really pleasing. It's really satisfying in some way. I don't deconstruct comedy too much. I like to just let it flow and let it be. And I think it is one of those instinctual things too. Like, you know, when something, you hear something or, you know, cause some people are very clever with puns. I'll never be good at puns, but some people are so wickedly smart and quick with the puns and they're very good at it. And that can be fun. It can be entertaining. It can be funny. There's all different kinds. There's stand up, you know, three jokes per minute, or there's Eddie Murphy, long storytelling, which is what I love. There's improv comedy. There's short form where it's like, whose line is it anyway? And there's long form, like you'd see at Second City in Chicago. There's comedic acting. There's comedic theater. So there's a wide spectrum of comedy and what's funny. And everything can work at every time. I mean, you can crack a joke at a funeral. And if it's done with love and if it's done in the right way and everybody knows what you're talking about, it can be a shared laugh at a moment of incredible sadness. You know, you've ever heard of gallows humor, people literally going to the gallows and cracking wise on the way. You know, that takes a special kind of moxie. But, but these things exist because laughter, I think, is what makes all this worthwhile. If it was all tears, if it was all sad songs, if it was all breakup songs, if it was all, you know, misery and seriousness, I don't think it would be much of a life. I don't think it would be much fun. So you got to have the laughs, too.
Well, you certainly have brought joy and humor and fun. Probably the funniest Marine I've ever met. Let's just be honest. And not only am I grateful that you were protecting our country, but you portray this country with discipline, commitment, and honor while still being funny. And you're always welcome in our neighborhood. You're always welcome on our shows. I'm still a big fan. You make me laugh even when you fart, and I appreciate all of it. Whether it's timed well or not, it still makes me laugh. We are blessed to have Rob Riggle in our neighborhood. He's been a repeat offender here on Office Hours. Rob Riggle, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to see you all. Take care.
We'll see you soon. This is Dave Meltzer.
All right.
We will see you all soon here on Office Hours.